I still didn't, there we go, I still didn't feel totally sure, and I just have some questions and things that I'm still trying to work out. And even while I left here about 6 o'clock to go home and to eat and take a shower to get back, and while I was in the shower, my mind started racing more, and I think some things kind of fell together, and it's just, how many remember this chart from last time, a while back? I didn't erase it. I made a copy of it because I thought I would, and I've got the copy written down that I wrote down, and we're going to kind of jump back into this, and we're going to go more from this area right here and then go out. So I'll end up spraying this off, and we'll end up redoing something and writing as we go a little bit. I'm going to have probably multiple things going on at the same time. So get ready. Buckle your seatbelts. and we'll see where we go. So this is Abraham to Solomon in chronology. Now, there are a few complexities that make Bible... Yeah, you might want a pen and paper. That is true. There are a few things, a few complexities that make Bible chronology difficult. One is that the Jewish calendar and our English calendar are not the same. And also, there are overlappings of the reigns when we're talking about the kings. But we must understand something right from the beginning. That the Bible is not supposed to be a book about dates and times. I want you to understand, I'm going to teach dates and times, but I want you to understand, the Bible was not written to be a book about dates and times, okay? It was written, and it's supposed to be written, so that we know how to live, okay? That is its first and foremost. It's God's letter to us, so that we know what's right and what's wrong and how I'm supposed to live, how I'm to draw closer to Him. He is the King of Kings. How do I relate, and how do I love, and how do I follow the King of Kings? Okay, that's really what the book is all about. Okay? Now, placed inside of it are dates and times. And it is fun, or in some cases, the way I feel right now, exhausting to study and to understand how to put all of this together. But remember, in the end, 2 Timothy gives us the purpose of the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's number one. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So therefore, you got to take this into account. If there is any error, it's in my understanding, not in the book. The error has nothing to do with the book. The book was written and inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is what the book was designed to be. That is why God gave it to us. Why? That the man of God may be complete. That's the word perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That is right there in a nutshell, the purpose of the Bible. Now, we're going to jump into chronology, and we're going to jump into some of this, these dates and times and stuff. And I'm going to probably show you more how I go about it as much as coming up with exact dates. All right? So I'm going to show us some things, hopefully. I've realized that in my years of employment, especially the last 4 years, I was assigned a task. And I didn't realize at that point what how that task was going to help me. But I had understood one system, and then I was taught another system, and I had these system knowledges, and they gave me a job because there was all these errors and all these troubles and all these issues between the two systems communicating, and I was one of the few that actually knew both systems. And so they placed me in a position to where I was to go in and investigate and to try to figure out and reconcile the two systems. And so I spent a lot of time studying these things and digging, and I learned to make an assumption and then try to prove my way through it, and I would come to the end and say, nope, that was wrong. Without having something said in the end that I'm going to prove this right, I went into it open to where, you know what, I'm going to allow it to prove to me what's the outcome. And as I'd done that, I did not realize on how that would help me in studying the Bible, because much of my study of the Bible is much the same way. I don't go into Bible with this is where I've got to end. And I don't go in saying, okay, I'm gonna preach this right here, or I'm going to teach this right here. I go in with, okay, here's the Word of God. Now let's see how it unfolds. And I allow the Word of God to teach. I allow the Word of God to talk. And my whole plan is to marry it and fit it together. To find it, line upon line, precept upon, you hear me say that a million times. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and it all comes together. Okay, so, now over the years, now probably somewhere around 7 to 8 years now. I look good, don't I, for 78. I have been looking at some of the deeper things in chronology. I haven't, and you'll know this, most of you know this, I haven't made it my total focus. This has not been my total view. I haven't spent all of my time looking at Bible chronology, because I believe the Bible was given for more than chronology. Just like I have studied in depth end time prophecy, the book of Revelation, but I haven't given myself to just totally study end time prophecy and prophecy and Revelations. Why? Because there's more to the book. Okay, I believe the Bible was written for more than that. And I've seen people who have spent all of their times focusing on one area or focusing on another area. And I believe that you lose something when you do that. That if you spend all of your time and all of a sudden all of your energies go into one area, I believe you really start to lose something. I've seen some people get really messed up over that, and before long they get into some weird stuff. It's something like this, having a well-rounded diet. I try to study many different areas. And I found, as I do, the Bible comes more and more and more and more alive each time. I'll study for a little bit here, and I'll set it down. I may not look at it for weeks, months, and I'll study something else. And I may not look at that for a while, and I'll study something else. And all of a sudden, as I'm studying, things start clicking from over here to over there to over there to over there, because that's what the Bible does. Okay? So tonight, I'm going to give us a small chronology lesson. And for the sake of time, some of these dates and times are going to be, we're going to kind of take a couple things for granted. Okay? Because, like I said, I started this study way back. One of the things I'll just tell you right off the bat, I'm going to use Solomon as became king in 970 BC. Now, I have that in a spreadsheet. I brought it all, and I've got a whole bunch of things that I went into it. I'm not going to go into all the scriptures. I'm just going to tell us that we're going to use that date kind of as a benchmark. Okay? Maybe at some point when we get into the kings, we'll be able to expand that out. But for right now, we're just going to stop and we're just going to use that date. Believe me, if I went through every scripture that talked about every one of these dates, we would be here till tomorrow sometime. And I don't know anybody, maybe. And maybe longer. And I don't think anybody wants to be here that long. Okay? That would be, I wrote this in my notes, that would be gluttony. So I don't think we don't believe in gluttony, so we won't do that. So, if you remember, we talked about this a while back. We talked about this from Adam to Noah, and then later we walked from Noah to Abraham. Now, up to this point, I have only given us the number of years from Adam. Each one of these years, this is 1656. That is not 1656 BC. That is 1656 years from Adam. Okay? We have not connected the dot to be able to take it the other way and go from the BCs. So to this point, all we have done is given us years from Adam. Okay? At some point, and maybe tonight, I'm going to flip that around. Because remember I gave you the date 970 BC? And then we're going to flip it, and we're going to kick it backwards. All right? And we'll be able to walk into some of the BC stuff. Okay? So, all right, here we go. If I'm scatterbrained, I am. The first thing I need to teach us, and the first thing we want to talk about, is this year of 1948. How many remember that when I talked about that last time? And we all of a sudden, a light bulb went off. And wait a minute, Adam was born 1948. 1948 years from Abraham. I'm not sure that's correct. And I'm going to show us some things in a minute. Okay? Now, just to give a quick recap. We walked from the flood to Terah. Abraham's father. Okay, Abraham's father. We're going to start right here. Abraham's father. Right here was 1878. Okay, 1878 was when he was born. Now, Genesis 11 verse 26 tells us this, and this is where we get this 1948 number. But I'm going to show us something. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, did Terah have triplets? Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And then here's another thing we want to see. And Haran died before his father in Terah, in the land of his nativity, in the Ur of the Chaldees. So we see here that Haran, one of the sons, died in Ur of Chaldees. Okay? Following me so far. The scriptures also let us know something else. In Genesis 11, verse 31. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son's Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Now, I find this interesting that here we see they had a son Haran who died, but they went into a land of Haran. Should have noticed that. And the days of Terah, here we go. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. All right, we're going to make some marks. So, Terah died 2,083 years from Adam. Now, here's where I thought it started to get interesting. The Bible tells us how old Abraham was when he left Haran. Left the city of Haran, not his brother. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So notice that. He was 75. Okay? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 7, verse 4. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. From thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now are. So the Bible tells us that when his dad died, he left. Okay, now let's put something together. Terah. lifespan.
Take that out here already. Already messed it up.
205 years.
Ready?
It says, the Bible says that Terah was 70 years old. Okay? When he had Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Let me ask this question. Does the Bible use people's names in order of importance over top of their age? Watch. Jacob and Esau, who was born first? But the Bible refers to Jacob and Esau. Why? Because Jacob is more important in scriptures. Why? Because Jacob leads us to Jesus. All right? Here we see Abram, Nahor, Haran. Let me ask this question. Of the three, which one's most important? Abram. Why? Because he points us to Jesus. Haran dies. Nahor at least has some sons. Now watch. The Bible tells us that Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. And the Bible also tells us that he left Haran when Terah died. Let's add up. What's 70 and 75? 145 years. Terah lived for 205. We now have a 60-year discrepancy. Okay? Now, there are a couple schools of thought as to why this is this way. To be honest, I bounce back and forth. What's wrong? So 205, 145, we have a 60-year discrepancy. Not really, because the Bible doesn't have discrepancies, does it? So, if you understand the fact that these three were not born as triplets, right? And you understand the fact that they're put into importance, this doesn't really have a discrepancy. What this shows us is that Terah started to have children at the age 70 years old. And he had three children, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This 60-year discrepancy, now this is where my brain starts spinning slightly. Because there's two ways to look at this. One, and I'm showing you how I study it and why I don't jump things, all right? It could be very well that Haran was the firstborn when he was 70. Okay? And because he's the firstborn, now Abram is born sometime later. Matter of fact, right here, when Terah is 130 years old. Because you remember that Lot went with him. Lot was grown. Abram was grown. When you look at the calling of Abraham, would have been somewhere around. This is where when we talked about this, I don't know if you guys remember the calling of Abraham when I talked about that. I went back to those notes just to kind of recap some things. Because if you look at the calling of Abraham, we can prove through Scripture that Abram was called prior to going to Haran. He was called in Ur of Chaldees. So if this was the case, and he was here at 70 years old, think about this. We have, by the time Abram left Haran, he would have not been 75, which the scriptures tell us emphatically that he was. He would have been 135. Makes sense. That would, if this was the case, if he was born at 70, then right, then Isaac would have been born here. Because Isaac was born when Abraham was how old? 100. So if Terah was 70 and he dies at 205, and Abram was born here, then Isaac is born somewhere in here. And that is not the truth. That's not what the Bible says. It becomes very clear then that Terah started having children at 70, and he has Abraham at 130. Which makes it, now Abraham follows the scriptures. Abraham is 75 years old, that's what the scriptures say, when he left. You all right? It makes sense. Kind of, not really. So I was afraid of. I tell you, I was trying to wrestle with how I was going to show you this. Because it, to me, it's amazing. Maybe. Should I start over? Want me to do it again? Terah has Abraham at 70 years old. He only lives for 205 years. Only, yes. Abraham was 75 when he left Haran, which was right when Terah dies at 205. So he cannot be 70 years old, or he cannot be born at that 70-year mark where the scriptures say, and Terah was 70 years old when he begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. It's impossible. A lot of people believe, and they take it this far, and I'm not sure if I want to yet because I don't have scripture to back it, that the reason Haran was named Haran is because at one time, Terah lived in Haran, moved to Ur of Chaldees, and then moved back to Haran with Abraham and Nahor. He already had died. Now, I'll just throw that out there. I haven't proven that. I haven't been able to prove that, so I'm not going to make that gospel. But I do find it interesting how his name is the same as the city they went back to, or they went to. All right. Whew. You with me? So, that therefore shows us that this 1948 date cannot be. Abraham was not born in 1948. Abraham was born in 2008. He was born 2008 years from Adam. Most, and one thing I've wrestled with, one thing I've tried to hold on to, is most Bible scholars take a 2,000 year period. It's basically to say from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years. From Abraham to Christ, 2,000 years. You have approximate 4,000 year old Testament. Okay? That's where most of them fit it in. All right? So if I get too far one way or the other, that helps me kind of line things up. So 2008 is not too far off. All right, here we go. So we have 2,048. Now we know Abraham was 100 years old when he had Isaac. And Abraham was 100 years old. Bible says in Genesis 21 verse 5, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. All right, now let me do something here. Big piece of paper, and they would draw, and they would write things, and they would draw lines and draw. I found myself in my office. I mean, I've got computers, but I found myself in my office with a piece of paper saying, whoosh, 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 whoosh. There's something about writing it out that helped me, and then I put it back into my computer. After I wrote things out so I could help grab hold of it. All right, so we have Abraham. Put 1948 again. See that? 2008. All right. 100 years. We have Isaac. Okay. So that's 2108. Pretty good math. Now we have Isaac. The Bible says Isaac was 60 when he had Jacob. Okay. So we'll have 60. That's 2,168. All right. It says Genesis 25:26, in case you're wondering. And after he had came, after that his brother came out and took hold on Esau's heel and called his name Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So that was 60 years. Okay. Now, here's where things start to get fuzzy. About chronology. In Genesis 29, verses 31, from Genesis 29, 31 through chapters 30, verse 24, it gives the birth of 12 of Jacob's children. Okay? These are recorded as the offspring from 4 different wives: Leah, Rachel, Zilpah, and Bilhah. Okay? They were his wives, but the scriptures do not say how old Jacob was when he had his children. The Bible doesn't give us the pretty, you know, and Abram was 100 and Isaac was 60. The Bible doesn't say, and Jacob was this and had Judah. It's not there. I looked a couple times. If you find it, let me know. I'd sure love to have it. Now, it does give us a whole bunch of things, and you could probably set and play and maybe get somewhere close, but even then you're guessing. Okay, you've got to put some things, you've got to put a whole bunch of things in order to try to find that. But the Bible, while it doesn't do that, how do we get any further? Uh-oh, are we done now? Remember the premise. The purpose of the Bible is not to give dates, but to lead us to Christ, right? So it's really not that important to name all of the dates of the sons. But the importance is that we get to Christ. So that is where we go. The Bible gives us a new date. And here it is. It tells us 3 things. One, it tells us when Jacob went into Egypt. Because the scriptures do not say how old Jacob was when he had his children. It does not say how old he was when he had Judah, which would have been the most important of that. Watch what it says in Genesis 47, verse 9, though. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers and their days of pilgrimage. In other words, he says, I haven't lived as long. He says, I've lived 130 years. A 130 years represents when Jacob went to Egypt. That's what the scriptures tell us. It was 100, and it backs this up. Let's watch this. The second thing and the third thing it tells us when Jacob died. And it tells us how long he lived in Egypt. Watch Genesis 47, verse 28. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. Jacob lives in Egypt for 147 years. Somebody, I don't think I wrote that math down. Now get me. From 2168, 100 is 2268, and 30 is 2298, right? Okay? I want to write this down. 2168 plus 130. 2298, right? Okay. 2298. This was still from Adam. You guys all right? All right. So he lives. You add that up. You find that he lives there to 20. Oh, I did have it written. Well, that's weird. Did I get my math right there? Because I don't have my math right here. One of the two is wrong. No, I'm trying to go to when he went to Egypt. He went to Egypt at 130. This is the number really I'm going after. Yep. Correct. That would be, if you add 17 to that, that's 23, what, 16? 23, 15? Right, I want 130. I want 130. I don't want 147. Remember, 147 counts when he dies. We're not counting when he dies. We're counting from the time, we're counting. What I really want to know is when he went to Egypt. That's 130. That's what I want to know. So 2298 is right. Somehow in my notes I had 2238. Ooh. Okay. So I don't know where I did that at. So. Yeah, be in between that. Okay, here, we'll just go here. We'll just listen to that. That's right. This, my notes ain't. That's why I didn't print my notes. You guys, okay, let me back this up. I shouldn't even have said what I had in my notes. I should have just went with it and been done with it. Caused more confusion. All right. So where do we go from here? How does this help us? How does this help me to know 2298 was when Jacob went to Egypt. That's when he went. Okay? This 2298 is when Jacob went to Egypt. Why does that help me? Watch this. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year after, watch, the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. Watch, 480 years from the time of, not the entrance, from the time of the Exodus. Now watch. We're going to come down here. I'm going to write gap. Okay? Here we go. 480 years. Solomon builds the temple in the fourth year of his reign. Now I told you, we're going to take for granted that Solomon became king in 970 BC. So therefore, if he started or he began to build the temple 4 years after his reign, which is what the Bible says, then he starts building 966. All right? So you have to now go back 480 from 966. Now, we're missing one piece of information. Probably the most tricky piece of information in all of the scriptures. Pretty straightforward so far, I think. That was a joke. Here's the piece of information I need to know. When did they come out of Egypt? They came out of Egypt. The Bible records this in Exodus 12, verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. So this go to Exodus 12:40. It says 430. Now, I want you to think about something, though. This is where it starts to get dicey. Am I all right? I got 10 minutes to try to make somebody understand something. That's me. All right, I'm going to try to understand this next 10 minutes. God told Abraham that they were going to be afflicted in Egypt for 400 years, not 430. You find two references, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. Stephen records 400. God records it to Abraham 400. You also find two references for 430 years, once by Paul and once in Exodus. So you can't use your theory, well, there's the old and the new. Somehow the 400 and the 430 have to be reconciled. I'll give you a couple thoughts. Now the 30 years, there's some that teach that that 30-year gap was because Jacob went in here, right? And then there came a point where the Bible says there rose up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. Okay? And there was your 30 years. My only problem with that is I can't see there being a rise in just 30 years to where they don't know who Joseph is. 30 years is not that long. I can even prove that Joseph lived beyond 30 years, which would mean Joseph was now a slave. If you follow that deduction. Okay? Yes. Let's pull up Galatians 4. Was that 4th? Or was that Galatians 3:17? I don't know if I have that in my notes. Is that 3:17? Pull up Galatians 3:17. Because I agree with you, Brother Fleming. 100%. Because if you take the math now, okay, it puts us somewhere out around, if you would start to do the math, let's do it. 22, all right, let's take 966. Somebody add some numbers for me. Anybody got a calculator? Come on, Abraham, I know you got one quick. You ready? You're the mathematician. 966, you ready? Plus 480, plus 430, plus 130, plus 60, plus 100. What do we have? Oh, I thought you had a calculator.
I got 2166.
2166? I think that's what I came up with. Okay. 2166.
Oh, I'm smart today. Go me.
Huh? We're getting close. We're close to 2,000. Mm-hmm. About 166 years over 2,000 years. Not too bad. Not too bad. Okay? So, let's take a thought here. If we look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "And this I say, that the covenant," everybody say the covenant, "that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none." What covenant is it being referred to? Close. The Abrahamic covenant, absolutely. So let's look at this. Galatians, and Paul is telling us that the Abrahamic covenant was 430 years. When was the Abrahamic covenant confirmed or spoken or given? Remember, the Abrahamic covenant was given right here. 5 years. I'm sorry, back that up. Not there. The Abrahamic covenant would have been given just prior, yes, to him leaving the Ur of the Chaldees, which he would have been around 70 years old. All right, you follow me? So I was right in that area, about 5 years prior. He was in Haran approximately 5 years. So the Abrahamic covenant, the 430, starts around that time period. This is where it gets dicey. If you start to add now, and you start to go from Abraham, he was how old before he had Isaac? About 25 to 30 years old before he has Isaac, right? If it's given to him, let's just say for sake of math, if I'm 5 years, I'm okay with this, okay? Let's just say for sake of time, that he gets his covenant at 75 years old.
Hey, you there?
He has Isaac 25 years after he has had the covenant given to him. There's 25. All right? He then, you go, you mark from there. Let's mark, I don't have no more board. Then you mark 60 years. Here, we can do it this way. I'll write it in a different color. Okay. 75. So, 25 years later, he has Isaac. Okay? 60 years later, Isaac has Jacob, okay? And then you go right back to here, right? Everything follows from here, right? This all follows along, except this number. I'm sorry, not that number. Hate when I mess up. Except this area is now different. Because what you have, Jacob dies 17 years in. Okay? The children of Israel are not in Egypt 430. The children of Israel, 215. You add up 25, 60, 130. It's 100. I'm sorry, there's 85. 215. See that? Now, from the going in is 215. The coming out is 215. Now changes our date. That adds, right, you had 215. There's your 430 years. Now you can get to the place where you can understand that there rose up a king who knew not Joseph. If you only take 30 years, you can't do that. Okay? There rose up a king that knew not Joseph. 215 years. The one trouble that they have, the one trouble that I found that people try to argue against that is, how in the world could they become a multitude of nations or a multitude of a nation in 215 years? That can very easily be proved because Exodus records that the Pharaoh, the reason the Pharaoh was afraid of them, he tried to kill off their babies. Why? Because they were having babies so fast. What were the Egyptian birth mothers? What excuse they say? They're so lively. They just keep having children and children and children and children and children. What happened? God allowed them to do this, a supernatural move by God, to have an explosive growth, which made a Pharaoh afraid. And their captivity was not 430. Their captivity was 215. You can also see that Abraham went to Egypt. Isaac went to Egypt. I'm pretty sure, if I remember right, even Jacob went to Egypt. Now, you think about this. Think about that. If they went to Egypt, there's your journeyings in Egypt. Okay? You follow me. That's the argument. I just showed you both sides of the argument. It says from Abraham, from the covenant, 430. You have to look up Acts 7. Look up Galatians 3:17. That's why I'm bringing this out. I want to show you how Bible chronology is actually studied. You have to take it, and you have to take scriptures and start putting them together. And when you have a scripture here and a scripture here, remember, this Bible has to reconcile. If it doesn't, it's not an error in the Word of God. It's an error in our understanding. All right? So, if we do the math from there, we take 2298, or we'll take, instead of adding, yeah, we'll take 2298, or we'll take 966, add 480. Add 480, add 215, add 130, add 60, add 100, 511, 6, 9, 10, 11, 17, 25. 1951. Much closer to 2,000 years. I'm going to let you guys wrestle with this. This is what I've been wrestling with. But I want you to, I really wanted to show us that the way you figure it out, you cannot go from Jacob and then walk down son until you get to David, until you get to Solomon. The Bible doesn't give us that answer. The Bible jumps from Jacob going to Egypt all the way to the building of the temple. And you have to work your way back. We also know that if Solomon was 970, about 40 years before that was David. About 40 years before that was Saul. So if you want to find out when David reigned, he reigned in 1010 range. Okay? So in case you were wanting to know, because we're going to come into that. But I really wanted to show you how this gets wrestled. I honestly have been torn. What I just taught you right here, I have wrestled with this for years. There are times I swing towards the 430, and then there's times I swing back to the 215, and then there's times I swing to the 430, and then there's times I swing back to the 215. I'm going to figure it out before time is all said and done. Right now I lean to the 215. But I just wanted to show us some of this and how it can be. It's another reason why I think people can go crazy if they spend too much time looking at this stuff. Because honestly, your brain just starts to get all wound up, and I just unloaded on you guys. I mean, you don't know how much this helped me to get this out of my brains and into yours. So now you can wrestle with it for the next 5 to 10 years. But it's interesting. It is interesting to look at. I probably just really messed us up, didn't I? Not 480. The 480 number. That was for 70. That's what he told him. It was a year for every Sabbath they broke. We'll get to that. We got to go through all the kings first, and then we're going to get out here somewhere, and then we're going to get into the captivity. There's numbers. There's a lot of things in here. Go ahead, brother. I want to know what you're, because I threw this out here, honestly. Because there's just so much, and it's just tough. It's tough to grasp it all. Correct. Right, correct. That's why I thought it was interesting when we saw that 1948 there.
on that one number, and it kind of jumped at me, but then I couldn't follow it totally. So, but but that's where I've seen people make that connection. But you have to be careful. I just proved that connection cannot be made over here. So. Correct. There are certain numbers. There are certain dates. There are certain times that are steadfast. And that's what we have to, when you hit those can't move. And so things have to move from that. Okay? Now, the reason I turned it back around right here was to help, because remember, I started at a zero number with Abraham. And you start at zero and you work your way up. But when I got to Jacob, I could no longer follow that total number, okay, without establishing some number out here. And my goal when I'm done is to kind of marry the two and see where I can come up with totally. That is just where I've gotten to this point. So I hope I helped. I hope I didn't mess this up. It makes somewhat sense to where it is. Like I said, there's really one number you wrestle with. There's really one number, and that's the 430 versus the 215. There's some other things. Here's what you have to do to figure those two out. And that's where I didn't get this far yet. You have to take the 430, you have to take 215, and you have to fit the rest of their history inside of these numbers. If they fit, they're okay. If they don't fit, now you've got an issue. Okay, there, because you know, you got to think about it. you have them coming out of captivity. You have a lot of things that have to happen between this mark and this mark. Okay, between that 480 years, you have a number of things that had to take place between the Exodus. Okay, so there's a lot of things that have to be reconciled. That to this point, I honestly can say I don't come across like I'm a know-it-all. All right, because honestly, I don't prescribe to have all the answers. I don't prescribe to be an authority as far as I know everything in Bible. And you know, I'm just showing you what I'm studying and how I'm studying. What I hope to convey is a love for the Word of God and a desire to get into it and a desire to study it, that there is so much there that we can learn. There is so much there that we can gather. If we get beyond just, you know, I'll skim through these next pages and say I've done my Bible reading for the day. Okay? Because the Bible is so deep, it's so rich, and you can literally spend hours and hours and hours studying things in the Scriptures. If you have a love for the Word of God, if you really have a love for the Word of God, and I believe God opens things and God will talk. I don't think God's done with me yet on this. I still think I've still got some ways to go. But I want you to know that there's a desire there that wants to know His Word. And I want to try. My goal in knowing this is not just so I can know the numbers. My goal in knowing this is so that I can help teach it and help make people understand His Word better. Correct. Correct. By knowing where things fit, I can also know where things are in history and where things fit, you know, because once you get this timeline, see, and I started doing it already, you start putting Jewish timeline into world history, and you open up a whole world that is so amazing. I started to do some of that. I found that in old world history, there were really two major world powers in their day. And I'll just show you a quick thing and we'll be done. It's already time to leave. There you had the Assyrian Empire, you had the Babylonian Empire. Those are your two major forces. Egypt was one, but Egypt is kind of off on their own for right now. But you have this Assyrian Empire and you have this Babylonian Empire. It's your two major forces. They come after Babylon. Right, I'm talking old world history. I'm talking before that. Okay? The Media Persian Empire, actually Media and Persia joined together to become one empire that took down the Babylonian Empire.
But that was after the fact of the Assyrian. Before that took place, the Assyrian Empire was actually your number one, your major empire for most of the whole thing. Babylon came in. They kind of overthrew much of that. And Assyria and Babylon kind of went back and forth for a time until the Medo-Persians came in. Then they took, and then Greece, and then it moves on to the Romans. Okay, now, I want to back something up. There is one point in history when neither the Assyrian Empire and the Babylonian Empire were the world power of their day. Do you want to know when that was? It was when King David was on the scene. During the reign of King David and Solomon, the empire of the Jews was actually the world power of his days. And both the Assyrian and the Babylonian Empire were greatly weakened during that time. Why? Easy. Because when God's people are living right, and God's people are walking before God, God will elevate them and exalt them. When God's people are not living right and not serving Him, it's right. And you relate that to today. When we're living right and we're doing right and we're living the best that we know before God, I believe God helps us, right, God? But when we start walking away from Him, we start doing our own thing, God says, okay, I'll let these other things come against you. Just a quick Bible study. That was quick. That was free. That was just an addition. Why to know this? It's not just to know it, just to know it. It's when you start to put things together, it just opens up a world. Because the Bible is such a wonderful book. Let's pray. Jesus, God, I pray, Lord, that what I said today, Lord, has helped us in some way. God, while I don't claim to have the answers, I know You do. God, I pray, Lord, that You will continue to help us to understand Your word and to make it clear and to make it plain and to, God, to speak to our hearts. And Lord, let Your word be more than dates and times, but God, let it speak clearly to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to understand Your word, to know Your word, and to know more about it. But most importantly, Lord, help us to love Your word. God, allow a love for Your word to dig deep in our hearts. God, that we will desire to study it and know it and just continue to dig and find what You have for us and what You would want us to know. And Lord, I pray that today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that I open someone's eyes, Lord, to what can be found and what can be discovered when we study Your word. And God, to put a desire in someone's heart to know more about it. Bless each one for being here, Lord. Go with them and be with them. In Jesus' name, amen.